Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating, Fibromyalgia, and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for this special edition of the first Tuesday of the month, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia. Tonight I'm going to be going over the five things you must do to feel good again. And if you've had the opportunity to watch any of my videos or to read my now fifth edition book, you'll know that a lot of this information comes right out of that material. I've been in practice for 23 years. I have specialized in fibromyalgia for the last 18 years. I have a private practice in Birmingham, Alabama. 90% of my practice is phone consults. I get to work with patients all over the world. And over the last 14 years, it's become very apparent to me that there are five crucial things that you must do to have the opportunity to start to reverse your fibromyalgia and actually feel good again. I come into contact with dozens, if not hundreds, of patients through email or through going out and doing public speaking throughout the month, and I have found that for the most part, the number one thing that prevents people from really feeling good is the fact that the people who have gotten the diagnosis of fibromyalgia oftentimes are too passive. And obviously that's not you. You're here on the phone call. But so many people get the diagnosis and they're still waiting for the magic pill to cure them. And that does not happen with fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a group of symptoms. It's a syndrome that's made up of all these different conditions under a heading called fibromyalgia. And everybody's fibromyalgia is a little bit different than the next person. That's what makes it so complicated and so baffling from the standpoint of a physician trying to treat it. And that's why, for the most part, traditional medicine is a dead end for fibromyalgia, because with so many symptoms, it's hard to know where to start and what to treat first. It's hard to know what's going to make the biggest difference in this person's health that's actually going to change them long term. So many people have become conditioned to think that if they have an illness, that all they have to do is take a pill, and then they're well. They get, you know, they go to the doctor's going to give them a pill, and that's all they need to do. But fibromyalgia doesn't work that way. And we have a lot of patients out there who still think that this the research that's out there, that someday we're going to have a study that's going to show us exactly what causes fibromyalgia, and here's the exact pill that you need to take to correct it. And I'm here to tell you that's never going to happen. I don't want to sound like a doomsayer, but the reason why that's not going to happen, because there's really no one single cause that brings on fibromyalgia. I'm all for the studies that are going on right now. We need more studies. I'm very interested in a study that's going on conducted by Dr. Pridgett here at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, here in Birmingham, Alabama, who is looking at the role that a virus in the gut plays with fibromyalgia. Can that be part of the equation? Absolutely. Is it the only thing? I don't think so, because treating patients with fibromyalgia the last 14 years, I can tell you, testing, not every one of my patients has anything wrong with them as far as a viral or a bacterial overgrowth. That plays no role in their poor health. Then we have another study, a very small study that got a lot of publicity, a lot of that funded by the pharmaceutical companies that sponsored the research. And this is the small shunt fiber study that showed that individuals with fibromyalgia had a defect in their small fiber shunts, and their arterioles manifested pain in a heightened way over the average person. Is there some validity to that? I think there could be. I'm not saying that there's not, but we had 27 people enrolled in that study, and to take that one study and now start to say that that is the definitive reason why people have fibromyalgia, and that the two best things you can do for that would be to take either Savella or Lyrica. And when you start to do those kind of things, you run into a roadblock. Because you know, if you've had fibromyalgia for a period of time, you know that many of the drugs that are recommended for fibromyalgia often create more problems. And so I talk at length, and I'm getting even more vigilant about bringing this up. The number one first thing you have to do is make a decision that if what you're doing right now is not working, you're going to do something different. And for most people, that means you're going to have to get out of the traditional one pill, one cure paradigm that we've all been brought up in and realize it's not going to happen that way. You're going to have to make a change. And the change leads me to number two, the number two thing that you must do to feel good again, and that is you're going to have to realize that you're going to have the appropriate testing to figure out what's wrong with you. The reason why I say that is because I get patients all the time who get sloppy laboratory workups. It's not that their doctors are bad people. It's just that their doctors are not used to treating medical misfits. They don't realize that they have to go the extra mile or 10 miles and do additional detective work to figure out what's going on with that patient. You all know so well that you've gone to the doctor, or doctors, plural, because typically most fibromyalgia patients have seen 12 different doctors over a seven-year period before they ever get the diagnosis. And doctors tell you repeatedly that everything looks good in your blood work. It looks okay. Everything's fine. And then they try to put you on an antidepressant, or they try to put you on something like Lyrica or whatever it is. But they tell you your blood work is fine. Well, I'm here to tell you that your blood work is not fine if they were doing the right blood work. Unfortunately, most patients are getting an incomplete workup, and so that they're being told there's nothing wrong, and all their symptoms of fibromyalgia are being swept underneath the rug, and they're told, the reason why you have low energy is because it's your fibromyalgia. Well, that may be the case, and often it is. But just as usual, though, is that many patients with fibromyalgia have a problem with low iron that's never caught. Patients go to the doctor, they have the CBC, it shows that they have a low but normal hemoglobin, low but normal hematocrit, low but normal MCV, MCHV, and their doctor says, oh, well, everything's within the parameters, so you're fine. You don't have to worry about it being anemic. What you need to realize and what that doctor should realize is anything that's low normal is low. Anything that's high normal is high in a medical misfit patient. You always have to suspect that if it's a low, that means that for that person, it's low and you should investigate further. Doctors don't do it, but they should do it this routinely. They should be ordering a ferritin level, which will show you your iron storage, how much iron you have on hand in reserve. What they'll find 9 times out of 10, like I do, is that my patients with all the low normals in their CBC showing the potential of possibly having anemia, iron deficiency, is they have a low ferritin. Now, the thing about lab tests is there's a big window of interpretation, and most doctors have a herd mentality. So they follow the doctor in front of them, who follows the doctor in front of them, who follows the CDC guidelines for interpreting blood work. But patients are more than their blood work. They're more than an ICD-9 insurance code. They're people. And I have learned a long time ago, I treat people, not blood tests. But having said that, when we look at the ferritin level, the normal is somewhere between 8 and 150. And so if you're a 9, they're going to tell you you're fine. But what we know from the research, it shows us definitively that you are do better if your iron stores, your ferritin levels above 50. If it's below 50, there's a good bet that you're in the beginning of anemia, and when you're low in iron, you're going to feel run down, fatigue, and low iron is associated with restless leg syndrome, headaches, dry skin, all sorts of depression, all sorts of things. So you never want to miss that. It's the same thing with thyroid. Patients go to the doctor runs a TSH, and that's it. The TSH is in within normal limits. However, because the doctor didn't run a free T4 or a free T3, he or she misses the fact that you actually do have a low thyroid. They just didn't do the right test, or they didn't check your thyroid antibodies. So you go year after year feeling like shit, excuse me, sorry, French, but you feel terrible. And because of that, you are on a bunch of different drugs when really what the doctor should have done is put you on thyroid medication. It just frustrates me to no end to hear this story day in and day out. I had 3 patients today, the same story. One of them has been bedridden for almost 2 years, and her doctor kept putting her on different drugs to treat the symptoms of low thyroid. All they had to do was to check her antibodies. It was apparent that she had a problem with her thyroid. It just makes me furious. Now, what will happen is once she starts doing the proper protocol that I put her on today, I guarantee you within 3 to 4 weeks she'll be a new person. It's not rocket science. But step number 2, you've got to realize that you've got to get the appropriate testing. If you're not working with a doctor who is going the extra mile, who's doing the detective work to figure out what the heck is wrong with you, you're going to have to change doctors. You're going to have to find a doctor who will do the appropriate workup, who will ask the appropriate questions, and find out what in the heck is the matter with you. If not, you're going to continue to fall through the cracks, and you're going to feel like, pardon me again, you're going to feel like yick. So you have to change your thinking about that. I get emails from people who tell me, oh, my doctor will order this certain test. Well, your doctor works for you. If your doctor's not doing what you're asking them to do, fire them, get another doctor. Because you have an illness called fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, you're a medical misfit. You're different. You're special. And you don't fit in the box. And to expect they're going to be able to run the typical tests that they run for typical people and find something in that blood work, it's just not going to happen. So you have to change your mindset. Step number 3 that you have to do to feel good again is you've got to realize that you've got to treat causes and not symptoms. And that's where that testing comes in. Because if you go the traditional medical route, what they're doing is treating symptoms. If you can't sleep, they're going to put you on something to knock you out and make you go sleep. If you can't wake up in the morning, they're going to put you something to speed you up and make you have more energy. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, well, that's what I want. The problem with that mentality is they put you on something to put you asleep at night, but because you're on Ambien, now you get all the potential side effects that mirror that of fibromyalgia, diffuse achy muscle pain, flu-like achy pain, fibrofog, depression, poor memory. That's the very symptoms you want to get away from. Because you don't have any energy in the morning, they put you on Ritalin. or they put you on some other stimulating medication. And while short-term that helps you to have more energy, long-term it further interferes with your sleep. So now you have more and more trouble with your sleep. It is too harsh on your stress coping glands, the adrenal glands, so now you have more and more problems handling, coping with stress. Long-term, that medication, which is an amphetamine, which is against the law if you were to sell that out on the street, it's a street drug. Long-term, that medication will do such damage to your stress coping gland, the adrenal glands, that you run the risk of your adrenal glands actually shutting down and not working. Oftentimes, I find that patients who get on stimulating medications will then become anxious. So they start to have anxiety disorders. And now they're put on Xanax or Klonopin or Ativan or some other calming anti-anxiety medication. But now we got something to rev you up and something to slow you down. That's the mentality of traditional medicine. If we have a symptom, what's the drug we can use to make that symptom go away? It's analogous to flying down the highway at 90 miles an hour and your oil light comes on telling you you need to change your oil. And sure enough, you can take a magic marker and you can cover that light up and it will not bother you anymore. So we have treated the symptom, which the symptom is the oil light coming on, but we've done nothing to correct the problem, which is to pull over at the next gas station and put oil in the car, correct the cause. Now the oil light doesn't come on. Treating symptoms rarely yields long-term relief because every drug that you take has got a potential to raise its ugly head in the form of side effects. And when you have so many symptoms, like you do in fibromyalgia, it's easy, very easy, that before you know it, you're on 7 or 8 medications, all of them causing potential side effects that are then treated with other drugs. So number three is you've got to figure out through the testing where you're broken down and you treat the causes. You want to treat, if you've got poor sleep, why do you have poor sleep? It could be that your cortisol level is spiking up at bedtime. You actually catch your second wind at bedtime. It could be that you have an anxiety disorder because you're very low on serotonin or gamma-aminobutyric acid, or you've got your circadian rhythm, which is your sleep-wake cycle, shifted late into the day. Could be you used to work night shifts. All sorts of reasons can bring that on. But once you know that, there's steps you can take to eliminate that. It could be that you're having insulin surges during the night that wake you up because you're carrying around excess weight and your body's not able to get glucose, sugars, carbohydrates, into the cells anymore because your cells are so loaded with excess sugar that you cannot get the carbohydrate that you're eating. You can't break it down and you can't get it into the cells because just like in, you know, like in my kids' closets, you open up the closets and, you've got so many toys and all kind of stuff in there, you can hardly get anything else in there. And that's what happens over the years. We eat too many carbohydrates, we gain weight, and now we get to where we cannot store any more carbohydrates. And that can create what's called insulin surges that actually wake you up in the middle of the night. It can give you a vagal response where you feel a rapid heartbeat, you feel anxious. It could be that you're hypoglycemic. It could be that you're waking up in the middle of the night because your blood sugar is bottoming out. And that could be waking up. But you want to know, what is it that's causing that? You also want to know what's causing the fatigue. So with fibromyalgia, one of the most frustrating symptoms of fibromyalgia is this fatigue. The fatigue that causes you oftentimes, many of my patients anyway, to be bedridden at period, you know, certain periods of the week or the month, especially if they overdo it. And again, that can be swept underneath the rug that, oh, that's just part of your fibromyalgia. But maybe it is you're low in iron. Maybe it's because you're low in B12. Maybe it's because you have a problem with your thyroid. There's all sorts of things that can be swept under the rug, but once you find that through testing, now you know what the cause is. Now you can treat the cause. It could be that you have adrenal fatigue. You've bankrupt your stress coping gland, the adrenal gland, so they're not working like they should. Then you get to number four, and when you get to number four, you it's this whole thing about stress coping chemicals, and I talk about this a lot. I use this analogy that we're all born with a stress coping savings account, and in that account, we have certain chemicals that allow us to be able to handle stress. So that's cortisol, DHEA, dopamine, serotonin. It's also vitamins and minerals like magnesium, pantothenic acid. These things allow us to be able to handle stress. The more stress that we're under, the more these chemicals we use, and eventually, if we're not careful, we can deplete or bankrupt because we're not making enough deposits into that stress coping savings account. Largely, that comes from getting deep restorative sleep. When you get deep restorative sleep, you're filling up your stress coping savings account. It also comes from taking high doses or the right doses of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids that you can get over the counter. Why do you have to take it over the counter? Why can't you get it through your diet? The main reason is because it's so depleted, you can't make enough deposits to just changing your diet. Now, I'm not telling you not to change your diet, because that's definitely a step in the right direction of getting healthy. You've got to change your habits. The frustrating part about that is you know that you need to get enough sleep, you know you need to get enough rest, you know you need to exercise, you know you need to do these things, but because you feel so bad, you can't do that. I mean, you can't go exercise. Exercise is a very healthy thing. It's a stressor, though. It's a good stress, but you can't handle any additional stress because it further depletes your stress coping chemicals. So you got to be very careful. You got to build that savings account up before you start exercising. You would love to get a good night's sleep, but until you figure out where you're broken down through the right testing or know what the cause is that's keeping you from sleep, I mean, no one has an Ambien deficiency. It's something more than that, and that's where looking to see what is the cause that is preventing you from going to sleep. It could be something as simple as drinking caffeine too late in the day. It could be something as simple as drinking too much alcohol in the evening that then wears off in the middle of the night, bottoms out your blood sugar, and bottoms out your melatonin level so you wake up. So there's all sorts of things that can sabotage us, but if we just treat the symptoms and not the cause, we're destined, at least long-term, to run into a roadblock, and we're destined to be frustrated. So number four is you've got to take high doses, the right doses of vitamins, minerals, amino acids. To me, there's no way around that. You can try to do it through diet, and again, I recommend you do eat healthy, but it's going to take a long time before that's going to change. I have a lot of patients, when I look at their diet history, I think, golly, they eat healthier than I do. I eat pretty healthy. Most don't, by the way. But a lot of my patients eat really healthy, but they feel terrible. They don't feel good. And it's because it took years to get sick. It's going to take years to change that. And if you're doing it with just lifestyle changes, as far as diet, that's really going to take a long time. Then we look at number five, and number five is if we know that you have looked at these other things, what are, you had the appropriate testing, you're finding that here's the cause of my fatigue, here's the one of the causes of my chronic pain, I'm low in serotonin, and you start finding things. But the number five thing that you have to do is you have to look at what are the peripheral issues, the roadblocks that you have to get past once you've done these four previous things. And to explain that, because I was trying to think about this last week when I was coming up with this topic, what I see in the last 14 years with my patients is that a lot of people can get to a certain level, and they get to that level and they're doing pretty good. And even I had a patient today who I spoke with from Ireland, and it's actually her daughter, and her daughter's doing much better just starting the protocols that I recommend in my book. So she's taking the CFS Fibro formula, the 5-HTP, the adrenal cortex, and she's doing better. She's doing better than she's done in a long time. However, she's still got some issues she can't get past. And what more than likely after doing the interview with them, more than likely the problem is she has got chronic fatigue syndrome and she's using some of the protocols, but she's going to have to go deeper. My guess is she may even have Addison's disease where she has adrenal failure. She can't get the appropriate testing over there. They have a lot of red tape she can't get through. So I'm going to order labs for her to be done there, and we'll be very thorough in what we do. But what I'm saying is, for a lot of people, they can take the protocols that I have in my book, and they can do very well just taking the Jumpstart Pack and some of the other things I recommend to help with energy and pain and sleep, the 5-HTP to build the serotonin, the DHEA to lower anxiety levels, etc. But there's a whole group of folks who attempt that and can't get to the next level. And oftentimes, the reason that happens is because there's something out on the peripheral beyond sleep. You know, they've got their sleep just doing well. Their stress coping abilities are better. They're not perfect, but they have a little more stamina and resiliency to stress. It doesn't just cause them to cave in when they get under stress. They have a little more energy. Their bowel movements are more regular. Their IBS is gone away. But they're still fine. They can't get all the way back. They're maybe 40% back. That's where we have to look at, could it be a low thyroid? And that's where their appropriate testing is. Could it be that they have yeast overgrowth? And if they have yeast overgrowth, that should be called in upfront testing. And when that shows up, then there's an appropriate way to treat that that can make a huge difference. Had a patient, now you want to talk about being proactive. Now here's proactive. Last week, had a patient that drove to see me from Canada. So she has a lot of anxiety issues, can't get on a plane, didn't want to do a phone consult. She wanted to come see me. So she got in a car and she drove 15 hours, which I think is pretty Herculean. I get stir crazy in a five-hour car trip. But she drove 15 hours to see me. And what we're going to find out with her is a lot of her symptoms that she's having right now with anxiety disorder, some mood disorders, and some really kind of odd symptoms. It's going to be food allergies. Now, how do I know that? Well, I've been doing this for 14 years. So part of it is intuition. The other part of it is just detective work, questioning, and going through some of her symptoms. She has funny reactions to certain foods that she eats. She gets some vagal reactions, irregular heartbeats, etc. So for her, something that's blocking her on the periphery is this whole food allergy thing that's going to have to be tested for and then dealt with. But if you're at a point to where you're better, then you've got to look at what else could be causing me not to get back to where I was. Had a patient today that I had a phone consult with from California. 4 or 5 years ago, she was incredibly healthy, working out 5 or 6 days a week, actually teaching spinning class. And then she got sick, got run down with an infection, and has not been the same since. And for her, what we're going to find is, and by the way, she is doing a lot better taking the supplements. She read the book, she's doing these things, but she got to a certain point, and that's as far as she could go. Now, in her case, more than likely what we're going to see is two things. For her, it's going to be the adrenals, and then number two, it's going to be a yeast overgrowth. And that's her two blocks. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but if we go back to step one, that is easy. You can make a decision that if you're not doing better, you're going to have to change. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If you're stuck in the traditional paradigm, and obviously you're not because you're listening to me, and you know that I don't believe in that approach for fibromyalgia. I'm not anti-drug. I'm anti-wrong drug. I'm anti-too many drugs, and I'm anti-drug-only mentality because I know that approach for fibromyalgia doesn't work long-term. And you can see your friends and other peers who have fibromyalgia who have gone that route, and they're not much better, if any better, 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. Not that functional medicine, what I do, integrative medicine, has all the answers. We don't. We certainly don't. And we acknowledge that. I certainly do. What I do know is that from doing this 14 years, I have success week in and week out, and I'm confident that I'll have success with the patients I accept, because I know if I get them healthy, they're going to beat this thing called fibromyalgia. Because it doesn't matter whether it came from a viral infection, car accident, surgery, too much stress. It really doesn't matter, because the way that you finally succumb to this illness is your body breaks down. That we know. We look at all the different systems that are compromised in fibromyalgia. Basically, the self-regulating mechanisms of the body have become overwhelmed with stress, and they shut down your hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals. And when that happens, there's no drug that can correct that. The only thing that can correct that is taking the stress or taking the load off the body and then allowing it to be built back up so now it can handle stress. Now it has the ability to regulate our blood pressure, our body temperature, our sleep-wake cycle, our digestive system, our moods, our pain threshold. That's what the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, the HPA axis does. But when it gets under too much stress, it can't regulate these things. So again, not easy, but number one step is easy. It's to decide, you know what, I'm tired of feeling like heck. And, you know, I realize that the doctor or doctors that I'm seeing, all they have for me is another drug, whether that's Lyrica or Savella or Cymbalta, or whatever it is, low-dose naltrexone, or medical marijuana, or whatever comes out next week or next month or next year, that approach long-term is going to be a dead end. Can it be helpful? It can. I'm not saying that. If you're taking something that's finally getting you out of bed and you're doing good, that's great. You know, do that. But you need to be thinking about step two is, have I had a thorough workup? Are they doing the test that I need to see where I'm really broken down so that I can go into step three, which is I want to be treating causes, not symptoms. If I've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, the symptom is tingling in my hands and feet, fatigue, frequent urination, problem with my sleep, poor wound healing. Those are the symptoms, some of the symptoms, of type 2 diabetes. Now, we can treat those symptoms. We can treat type 2 diabetes with metformin or some other anti-diabetic medication. But all we're doing is treating the symptoms, not the cause. The cause of type 2 diabetes, not for everybody, but for many people, is because they're carrying too much extra weight, and the body cannot produce enough insulin to help them handle all this extra glucose and carbohydrates they're taking in and then turned into glucose and stored as glycogen. It can't handle that. How you correct that is you treat the cause, and the cause is being overweight. Same thing with polycystic ovary syndrome. The cause of polycystic ovary syndrome is an insulin insensitivity issue. If you treat that by helping the person lose weight and then balance their hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, you'll find that PCOS goes away. They don't have to go on metformin. Now, fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome is certainly more complicated because there's more symptoms, which also lends itself to more drugs to treat those symptoms. But once you start treating the causes, once you've corrected the cause, now it stays corrected. That's the advantage of that. Then once you go into step 4, which is making sure you're taking high doses, but the right doses of vitamins and minerals and amino acids, now it starts to do something. I have a lot of patients say, well, I've tried vitamins, I've tried minerals, I've tried these things. It never did anything for me. Well, there's several reasons for that. Number one, it could be that they were taking something like a Centrum Silver or one-a-day multivitamin, which is worthless. I mean, it's based on the recommended disease allowance, the RDA, which is 40, 50 years out of date. It's going to keep you from getting beriberi or scurvy, but that's about it. If you look at the research and the clinical studies, it shows that oftentimes people need very, very high doses of certain vitamins and minerals. Magnesium, which is a natural muscle relaxer. Some people need 400 milligrams. I had some patients that need as much as 900 milligrams to make sure that they have a normal bowel movement every day. Magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer. It relaxes tight, achy muscles. It helps to reduce mitral valve prolapse, high blood pressure, headaches. It also allows you to have a normal bowel movement. When you don't have enough magnesium, you get tight colon, you get infrequent. And so knowing that if you're using vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, these are the building blocks that make the hormones, that make the neurotransmitters, the brain chemicals, the things that we need to get built back up so that we can build up our stress coping savings account, and that allows us then to raise our pain threshold, to have more energy, to have more stamina, to make the thyroxine for thyroid hormone, to make cortisol, to make DHEA, to make estrogen, all these hormones that we need. It could be, and I hear this a lot with patients who are taking a gummy bear or one of these Fruit Plus. Now, Fruit Plus is fine. It's fine. It's just that you got to realize you've got a very complicated illness when you have fibromyalgia. And taking a little of this or a little bit of that, or one week I'm going to try probiotics, and the next week that didn't get me well, so now I'm going to take some grapeseed extract. And you know what? That didn't help, so I read about Geico, so I'm going to take that. You know, if you go from one thing to the next with no plan, with no roadmap, it's going to be fruitless. That's just the way it is. And don't give up. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you're taking supplements, and I mean good supplements, if you're taking some of the things that I'm recommending and you're not progressing, don't bail out yet. Get some help, whether you work with me or you work with another doctor who is well-trained in functional medicine, knows how to do the testing, knows how to apply the protocols. But don't just say that vitamins and minerals don't work. That's not true because, as I said previously, I've been doing this 14 years, and I do it for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part, I do it all natural. And if it works for me with the patients that I see, it can work for you too. You just may need some coaching. You may need, it may be you're at the point where you need to make a decision that you need to hire a coach, you need to get the testing, and you need to follow the advice of someone who knows how to get you on the right track and keep you going in the right direction. So many times I think people get so scattered. They're taking so many different drugs or supplements, and they go from, you know, one shiny object to the next. It's kind of a shotgun approach, and they never get well because they don't know really what they're doing. It's they're guessing, and when you've got a complicated illness like fibro, guessing just doesn't get it. You have to really know what you're doing, and then you have to have a plan, and then you have to work that plan to really have an opportunity to beat fibromyalgia. Now, we're about to run out of time, and what I'd like to do is recap this one more time, for my own clarity, if nothing else. But the first thing, you got to be proactive. What you're doing now is not working. You got to make a change. And obviously, I think that going a more integrative or functional medicine route is the way to go. And I feel confident that if you go that route, if you're working with the right person, obviously, I'm going to encourage you to call my clinic. I mean, this is what I do. This is all I do. It's what I've been doing for 14 years. It's where I specialize in. But you need to make a change. You can't be passive about this. You can't wait and think that next year or the next year or the next year they're going to come out with something that's going to cure fibro. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to get healthy. And that sounds easier than it is, because it's sometimes very complicated. But what takes all the complication out of it is number two, which is getting the appropriate testing. Once you know where you're broken down, now it's a matter of fixing the biochemistry. That's all it is. It's just biochemistry. And once you fix the biochemistry using the right building blocks that God intended us to use, which is food. Now, we're using vitamins and minerals, which are very high doses, concentrated but safe doses of food, so it's all natural. But that's where we get our hormones. That's where we get our brain chemicals. That's where we get our enzymes. That's where it comes from. But once you do the testing and you know where your biochemistry is broken down, then it's a matter of fixing the biochemistry, which fixes your physiology, how you feel, how you think. And now it stays corrected. And then number three is you've got to treat the causes. You can't treat symptoms. So and when you do that, now you're getting healthy. Drugs don't make you healthy. They can be helpful, but when you treat causes instead of symptoms, now you're correcting things. You're getting healthy. Could be you need to lose 50 pounds. That would be getting healthy. You store inflammatory chemicals and toxins in this extra weight that you're carrying around. Now, this extra weight is not the cause of your problem. You don't have fibromyalgia because you're overweight. You're overweight because you have fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia has sabotaged your metabolism. And so you have gained all this weight, which increases your risk of type 2 diabetes, elevated CRP levels, which increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. Any extra belly fat increases your risk of cancer, arteriosclerosis, all sorts of nasty things. But it also contributes to your fatigue and your pain, to the most common complaints seen in fibromyalgia. It's easy to say, as a doctor, oh, yeah, you need to lose weight. But that's ridiculous, because you know if you could lose weight, you would. But your metabolism's so low, you can't exercise either because you don't have any energy, no stress coping chemicals. So you've got to find out the cause of your low metabolism. Oftentimes it's low thyroid that's being missed. But then once you do that with my patients, once I find that, then I'm able to put them on an anti-inflammatory weight loss diet with an all-natural supplement that is non-stimulating It's a very safe diet. And they lose a half a pound to a pound a day. And not only that, they reset their metabolism. So the most important thing is they keep the weight off. Once they lose it, they keep the weight off. So I've had patients who've lost 100, 150 pounds. I've had patients that routinely lose 20, 30, 40 pounds when they're working with me in a program. So these are the things that you've got to do. You've got to get healthy. Number four, go back over that. You've got to build up the stress coping chemicals, and that's with high doses, but the right doses of vitamins and minerals, amino acids. I talk at length about that in the book and in the videos. And then number five is you've got to look at what else is it that I need to do to go to the next level. Is that, and testing would show that early on, but that could be a yeast overgrowth, that could be leaky gut, that could be a food allergy, that could be a low thyroid. But once you do these things, then you're healthy. And this thing called fibromyalgia can be beaten. And I see it every day with my patients. If you work this system, keep these things in mind, then fibromyalgia is something that can be overcome. That's always going to be there. It's your weak link. If you get under too much stress, you don't take care of yourself, and this happens with my patients. I'll work with them for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, whatever. They get them doing really well, and a year will go by. They've been doing great, hadn't heard from, and then they quit taking their supplements that I've recommended. They're not doing their healthy habit stuff that we go over. They get off routine, start having trouble with their sleep, start getting under more stress, and sure enough, fibromyalgia starts to rear its ugly head again, and we have to back up and start over again. But you can put fibromyalgia in the closet. You can get it to go in remission. Absolutely you can. I get a lot of grief from naysayers who say, oh, well, fibromyalgia can't be cured. He thinks he can cure fibromyalgia. Who does he think he is? Well, it may not be able to be cured. I'm not saying that, but you can get your life back. You can feel good again. You can actually be able to get up out of bed and socialize and carry on with your spouse. And I have patients can go back to work. I have patients that their big main goal is to be able to clean their house. They certainly can do that after working with me. So it can be overcome, whether it's cured. I don't know. We don't have to use that term, but it certainly can go into remission. I encourage you to be proactive. If you continue to struggle with fibromyalgia, now's the time to make a decision to do something different. I encourage you to, if what you're doing is not working, decide tonight that you're going to find a doctor to work with who's going to do the right testing, that's going to help you find the causes, you're going to treat the causes, you're going to work the protocols, build up your stress coping savings account, and then you're also going to look at any of the peripheral roadblocks and you're going to deal with those, whether that's losing weight or whatever that is, you're going to do it. And I encourage you to do that, make that decision tonight. If what I have talked to you tonight resonates with you, it makes sense to you, you've seen the videos, you read the book, then you know it makes sense, what I'm talking about. You know that I probably know more about you and your fibromyalgia than anyone you've ever spoken with. Then I encourage you to call the clinic, 205-879-2383, and make an appointment for a phone consult or an in-clinic visit. And quit guessing, quit grabbing the next shiny object, the next whatever that is. If you're frustrated with working with doctors who don't know what the heck to do with you, now's the time to be proactive and do something different. Again, I encourage you to call the clinic and work with me, 205-879-2383. If not me, for whatever reason, find somebody, but do something different. I want you to get your health back. I want you to feel good again. And I want you to realize that you can do that, but you've got to do it. No one's going to do it for you. I appreciate you tuning in tonight for a special edition of the first Tuesday of my Treating Being Fibromyalgia teleconference. I encourage you to be looking to the future. I've got a couple of webinars that I'm going to go into much more detail about some of the things I talked about tonight. My goal is to try to help as many people as I can reverse their fibromyalgia, either working with them one-on-one or to help them through my books, my free videos, my free blog information, the newsletters that I send out, the public appearances that I do, or the free webinars that I give. I encourage you to, if you've not watched the videos, which are free online, I encourage you to go to the thefibrodoctor.com. You can watch that video series. I'm going to be doing a Tuesday night call-in next week, where next Tuesday it will be all about questions. So if you've got questions you want answered, next Tuesday is the night to call in and let me go into details and help you in your quest to overcome your fibromyalgia. I will be doing for the next 6 weeks, I guess, because all through May, I'll be doing a Tuesday night call-in presentation all through May, since May is the National Fibromyalgia Awareness Month. And then there are some special webinars that will be on the weekends. I'm even going to have next month a couple of midday call-in lunch break seminars for people who can't make these nightly teleconferences. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for you to get your questions answered, to hear for more information, to be proactive. And that's what really I'm encouraging you to do tonight. So this is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, wishing you a happy and pleasant night.